Can we just recap a little bit some of the things we were talking about in terms of Binyan Mekalim and then move on really to the end of our sugya? So we spoke about Binyan Mekalim and Stir Mekalim. So we had a major machlokes in Rishonim. What are the parameters of that statement? We went from one extreme to another. We had some Rishonim who say that the basic starting point is that Ein Binyan Mekalim. That's the Ikra Din, that Ein Binyan Mekalim. We have every once in a while sugyas that seem to indicate that there is some kind of a problem with Binyan Stir Bekalim. So we have to explain away all those Gemara. So the starting point is Ein Binyan Bekalim. Binyan or Ein Binyan, Ein Stir Bekalim. Any Gemara that says otherwise, but that Gemara is talking about a very, very big type of a Kli that's not even a Kli anymore. Or maybe that Gemara is talking about Osa Kli Meikoro, starting something from scratch. So like the person who puts together the pieces of the shovel. So that's Osa Kli. Osa Kli is worse than Binyan Bekalim. That was one group. Then another Rishonim learned the exact opposite, that the starting point is that Yesh Binyan Mekalim. Normally the Malachas of bone and cells do apply. Every once in a while we find Gemaras that seem to assume that there's nothing wrong with breaking barrels on Shabbos. So those Rishonim say, no, those barrels are talking about very, very shvacha kind of barrels. Barrels that are almost falling apart anyway. They're just glued together with some spit. So that, those kinds of things are not subject to bona. But real Binyan, real Stira would be a problem. So we took those two extremes in the Rishonim and we said, well, this now plays out in terms of all opening packages, cans and packages, etc. Should that be a problem of bonus also or not? So we saw two different approaches between Ramosha and the Chazanish. The Ramosha looked at all cans and packages as a potential problem of Soser, because the Kli exists already. Now you're demolishing, you're breaking the Kli. So Ramosha went through the Shittas. If you hold Yesh Binyan Bekalim fundamentally, it's a problem. If you hold Ein Binyan Bekalim fundamentally, then it would be okay. Ramosha said, it's hard for us to be Machriya, the Mechaber, the Gro, it's hard for us to decide. So Ramosha said, one should be Machmer, but Ramosha threw in from left field that if it's a type of a Kli that's made only for the purpose of protecting the food, and it's supposed to be thrown out afterwards, so then maybe one could argue that's a whole different category. Maybe it's almost like cracking a nut, like the shell of a nut or something, and maybe that would be totally mut. That's where Ramosha left us. And the Chazanish had the other approach. Chazanish said that the issue with the opening the cans and the packages is a problem of bona, not sells, but bona, because the package and the can is not functioning the way it is. It's sealed up. You can't do anything with it. By opening it, it is bona, but that's significantly worse because it's osa kli mechadosh, which would be a problem, according to probably most of the Rishonim. It was because of this that we left kind of hanging at the end of the shiur on Wednesday, that what should our approach be towards opening of cans and packages, etc. So the later post, Shabbos Kechos, others say that lechachila, we should try to avoid these things. Try to avoid opening cans and try to avoid opening boxes and cartons and bags of potato, all this kind of stuff. Whatever can be opened from before Shabbos should be opened from beforehand. Whatever, for whatever reason, cannot or was not opened from beforehand, then we should try to do as follows. Again, we're following the footsteps of the Shmir Shabbos. It was, I have to understand, he was an Eretz Yisrael. He was coming a little bit more from Mechila from the Lowry side. He was coming a little bit more from the Chazanish's vantage point than from the Moshe. But we'll try to put all the pieces together. So the Shmir Shabbos, Gechosa Paskins, that Lechad Chila, one should open from everything from before. And for whatever reason, that didn't happen or couldn't happen. So then he says that the next best thing to do is when you open up the can or the package, one should totally destroy it. One should take the food out and totally destroy the Kli on the spot. What you're gaining by that is that, at least according to the Chazanish, it's not really a problem. Chazanish's whole concern was, you're making it into a Kli, here you're not making it into a Kli. It's not functionable. You're ripping the bag to pieces, you're opening up the can on both sides, there's nothing left. Even if you'd want to use it for a Kli, you couldn't. So that's the best option. The next best option, says the Shmir Shabbos, even if you're not going to totally destroy it, at least throw it out. At least take all the food out and discard it. Because if you open up the bag of potato chips and you leave the potato chips inside, or you open up the can of tuna and you leave some of the tuna inside, or something, people usually do that, but if you open up a container and you leave some food inside, so then according to Chazanish, that's a serious problem. According to Chazanish, that is a real problem of Asiyas Kli. So the hierarchy says the Shmir Shabbos is take, rip it, destroy it, totally throw it in the garbage. Next best thing is at least take the food out. More than that, the Shmir Shabbos isn't really going to be matir. Ramosha maybe will be matir, perhaps even more than that. But we probably, probably a safer approach is, as a chashash of bona, safer approach is at least to take the stuff out, preferably to destroy the kli. The only problem that comes up is, if you really want to be, so to speak, machmer, to destroy the kli, you may end up relying on other certain kulas in the process. Because as we spoke about, not all that long ago, it was the last malach, malach of mochek, so the Ramah holds that you're not supposed to cut through the letters of the happy birthday, which is the halacha equivalent to cutting through letters on a packaging. So here I'm trying to be very machlin and open up this bag of potato chips to be yaitzid echazanish the chalad. I'm going to rip this thing to pieces. In the process, you rip through 15 letters, 15 pictures, which are all problems of potential problems of mochi. So now you got two chumras vying for your attention. So I'm going to try to destroy the bag in such a way that I'm not ripping the pictures, ripping the letters too hard. So that sometimes becomes a little bit tricky. You know, I'm probably a little bit less concerned with the ripping of the letters in the pictures, as we already spoke about in the Mochik Sugi, is that we weren't quite sure why that was also in the first place, because that was a Psik Reishit, Lo Nichalem, and Double Durabanon, so, you know, we weren't as concerned with that as maybe others were. The Ramah was Machmer on that, but already the Rebbe and others were not as concerned with that. Again, so Lechad Chila, once you try, do your best, try to open for four. If you can't open from before, then try to maneuver as best as you can to destroy it, and at least the worst case scenario, at least take all the stuff out and throw the bag in the package, the box, whatever it is, into the garbage. I think that would be the best hierarchy of things. Those, for whatever reason, didn't do any of the above, and they just opened it up and just left the way it is. So they still have the Gerah to rely on. The Gerah, they have a Moshe's version of the Gerah. According to Moshe, it's only sells there. And we pass it in size of the Kalim. So, well, it's not the end of the world. Then in the middle of that Shuvah, Moshe throws out another curveball. Moshe says that he's talking primarily about the metal cans, the sardine cans, the tuna cans. Then he says, maybe the Malach of Bona and Selser don't even apply to bags. Maybe Bona and Selser just by definition mean like buildings, like maybe barrels, things of strength, of substance to them. A flimsy bag of potato chips, would you say I'm building a potato chip bag? We wouldn't say it. I'm demolishing a potato chip bag. You wouldn't say such a thing. So Ramesh is not sure. He doesn't have a mock, or doesn't have a rive. It sounds to him that maybe the malachas of Bona and Selser only apply to either structures, or at least the solid things, which are in the parish, in the ballpark, of being perhaps also included in Bona and Selser. Just as an aside, when everyone is opening up any of these kinds of packages, there may be other potential issues of malacha. Some of the things we spoke about in the past about malachas of kareya, of rippings, that's really a whole different story. Why malacha of kareya should or should not apply. So it's usually assumed that kareya doesn't apply to these kinds of things. When you open up a bag of potato chip, that's not called kareya. How do we know that? So that's a tesefta. Doesn't exactly talk about potato chip bags. But the Tosefta in Shabbos speaks about ripping off the top of a barrel of wine. If you have a barrel of wine that's covered over with an ark, covered over with a leather covering, so the Tosefta says it's mutter l'krasa or mi'alachavis. So the question is, so why is that mutter? Why isn't that called kareya? So this goes back already a few sigyas ago when we spoke about the malach of kareya, the malach of tearing. So we said that there are some who say that kareya is only really usher if it's amanas lit for, if it's on the condition to re-sew. There are others who say kareya maybe doesn't apply if it's only one unit, if it's not two things that were actually sewn together or glued together or taped together or something. If it's just one thing, so maybe that's not considered to be kareya. And the Chazon Ish suggested that maybe the reason why kareya doesn't apply is that when you have something that's just there to protect the food, almost similar to Ramosha's idea by Selser, but if you have something that's only there to protect the food, it's almost like peeling an orange, like peeling a banana. Would anybody say you can't peel a banana on Shabbos because it's kareya? There may be bore problems and dosh problems. Those we can get around. We've gotten around those in the past. But to call, ripping a banana peel, I don't think anybody would ever call that kareya. Why not? So the Chazon Ish says, because that's part of the food. That's not a kareya. It is when you have material. That's called kareya. You have a garment, that's called kareya. When you have papers that are sewn together, that are glued together, that's called kareya. When food, no such malach is not even nitfas, that doesn't even take effect on food. So Chazon Ish said, that's what Chazal meant when they say that you have a barrel of wine and there's a covering over the barrel, I'm ripping the covering. The covering is there for the food. The whole purpose of the covering is to protect the food. So that's not called kareya. So that same svar would apply to bag of potato chips. Also, you can't ask what else kareya. So anytime you want to open up a package, there are a lot of questions to ask. Is it Bona? Is it Sosa? Is it a Kareya? Is it maybe Mochek? I have a half a dozen other possibilities. There is one other issue we haven't yet spoken about. Hopefully we're going to save to the next Malacha. That's Machabe Patish. Is there ever an issue when you open up packages of of Machmer Patish, almost fixing, putting the final touches on a kli. So we'll have to see that's more of an issue in terms of the bottles and the bottle caps and the making openings and cans to drink from. So that's already a different picture. But we're talking more here. I'm not really making a Pesach. I'm not really making an opening. I'm just kind of ripping the whole thing apart. So that probably wouldn't be an issue of Machmer Patish.
Why isn't that barrel case, according to the Chazon Ish, a problem of Bonet?
So the Chazon Ish would say that's the Gemara in Machas has a little bit like that, and the Gemara says when it's not the barrel itself that I'm remembering. The barrel is there already. The barrel is functioning as a separate kli. It happens to be covered up. It's what the Gemara calls enochibur. So the covering on top of the barrel is a separate entity. So that's not called bone. It's not the same as a can of tuna fish. I'm opening up the can. The can is one entity, and I'm building the can. The barrel was a functioning receptacle that just happens to be covered right now. So it's not exactly the same because they're two different materials. And that's the Gemara. So the Gemara has that. The Gemara asks the question. The Gemara says that we spoke about a few weeks ago, a Korea based atzav, a Pesach based atzav, a guy opens up a shirt hole. So the Gemara says that's a Malacha D'Oraisa. So the Gemara asks, Ma'ishnomim Megubas HaChavis? Why is that different from taking off the, not the leather, but the Megufa? The Megufa is the covering, what's it? I forgot what the
lid?
Yeah, it's like the lid. It would be like the modern day equivalent, let's say a cork. I have a cork in a bottle. So the Gemara says, why isn't taking off the cork a problem? If you're opening up a hole for your tzitzis is a problem, why isn't removing the cork, thereby making a hole in the barrel a problem? So the Gemara says, no. Ha'chibur ha'eno chibur. That the shirt is one unit. It's all mechubit together. It's all connected together. So I'm making a hole in a shirt. Here, I'm not making a hole in a barrel. If I punch a hole in the side of the barrel, that's called making a hole in the barrel. Here, the hole is there. It just happens to be covered over with a lid or something. It's covered over with a piece of cork. So I'm just removing something which is separate and distinct. So that's why probably the covering of the barrel with the leather wouldn't be subject to an iser of Machmer Patish, but it may be subject perhaps to other possible malachas.
So wouldn't that if I'm opening a package of, say, Oreo cookies, there's a receptacle for the cookies inside the packaging?
Yeah, but that's right? Yeah, but that would be closer, I think, like the Megubas HaChavos.
So that would not be
a problem. I don't think that would be a problem, right.
It'd be different from a bag of potato chips.
Right, with a bag of potato chips, it's the same thing, right, I think so, right. That's like the post, like the yogurts. You know, you rip off the top of the dead in yogurt, so that's probably not a problem of anything. That's probably like the, unless one rips towards that in, but that's probably not an issue because that's pretty close to the idea of the Karnas or Mealachos. Okay, so this is really the ends of the Binyan Mekalim part. Now there's one last part of our sugya, and that's how Binyan the Ochlin fits into the picture. Is there a malacha of bona bechlal when it comes to foods? So there is a Gemara in the 15th of the Ma'amar Kamos. One of the disadvantages of not bringing my tefillin to the shiur to daven already is that my reading glasses are in my towel bag, so bear with me. So on the 15th of the Ma'amar Kamos, in Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Hamad Aleph, Rav Nachman Bar Guria Iklul in Nahardah. Rav Nachman Bar Guria happened to show up in Nahardah. Bominei, they asked him the following shayla. Cholev mishumai mechayev. What malacha is involved with cholev, with milking cows on Shabbos? Now, we spent a lot of time talking about that. I think we had about five or six different shittas in the Rishon on what the malacha was, but there's some kind of a malacha involved. So Amal Husar of Nachman Bar Guria responded, Mishum Cholev. He said, the reason why Yechayev is Mishum Cholev. That's not, that doesn't really answer the question. So then he asked him the next question. Mechabetz Mishumai Mechayev. Why is Mechabetz Chayev? So Mechabetz is part of the process of making cheese, which basically causes, you put something into the cheese to cause the curds in the whey to separate from one another. You put some kind of an agent in to start to separate the different parts of the milk. Now, for us, we're not so used to this idea because our milk has already been homogenized in such a way that it doesn't turn into cheese right away. But if you take non-homogenized milk and you just put it down on the, leave it on the table for a few hours, it's already going to start to separate on its own. If you throw in some kind of agent, like lemon juice, other kinds of things, so that works on it to separate, starts to separate the different parts of the milk. So I really had no idea what in the world Mechabetz was until this past summer we went to a cheese-making factory in Eretz Yisrael, so they actually showed us what Mechabetz is. I was very, very excited because they showed us about, they were showing us like different things that have been used over the years in terms of doing mechabetz. So they were describing some different kind of like I don't know if it's acidic or not. I don't remember exactly what the chemistry part was, But the Gemara of Adazar started to come back to life because the Gemara of Adazar sent a parak as a shayla. Why did they ask the cheese of goy? What was the problem? So the Gemara gives you a few different reasons. So you begin to see what some of the different ingredients that may have gone in into the cheese making process. When I was learning
myself, is this not kosher? Usually not kosher.
Well, the Gemara says that they made it issa the rabbanan to have gvidas achum. You're not allowed to have goyish cheese. So the Gemara says like six different reasons why they asked goyish cheese, and there was machlekes and rishonim whether was the issa and goyish cheese made as a, what we call a davar shebeminya, means it was made across the board, even if none of those reasons apply. So it's still also just that's the way it was a low plug. Do we say no, that it was only usur if it meets the criteria that Chazal was describing, if it meets some of those concerns that Chazal was describing? So one of the bigger concerns is that they used to, part of the cheese making process is that you have to get the stuff that's inside, it's called the rennet. Yeah, right, the end, we had a line in the rennet, the enzymes, whatever stuff is. So they used to use treifa animals, to the rennet, in order to get the cheese, to be made properly. So the days of Chazal, this was a problem. They used to put it into the mamash, into the treifa stomachs and the animals. So that was a whole concern.
Was that for the mechabit, or that?
No, that, I think that was not for the mechabit. I think that was more to make it into harder. I think that would actually coagulate the curves, if I'm not mistaken. You can see how much I remember from my cheese-making days. But anyway, so Tosfos quotes a shaila about what if you live in a place where none of these concerns apply. So Tosfos quotes that there used to be places in Narbonne, in southern France, where they didn't make it with animals anymore. They used to do it with different kind of vegetable products, other kinds of quasi-enzymes, things the equivalent of the animal enzymes, that would do the same trick. And all the other concerns that the Gemara spoke about, that the days of the Gemara, these sometimes shmir, chaz of fat onto the cheese, none of these things apply anymore, Tosfos writes. So should we say it's also anyway? So Tosfos quotes one view in the Rishonim, it says that's mutter, that as long as the reasons don't apply, then you can mamish get cheese from the goyim, as long as you have a mashkiach there, nothing's going wrong, everything's fine. And then we quote the other day, many of the Rishonim, all the other opinion, they know that Gvinas Akam was made as a psaloi plum, chukpul yavar, you're not allowed to buy goyish cheese, even if it's under Ashkoch, and even when everyone's watching and everything, it's still considered to be a problem. That's why we usually assume that all our, no, our cheeses are always from the Hamisha company. So they have to be Gvinas Yisrael. Even, there's nothing to do with Chav Yisrael, it's a different story. Even forgetting about Chav Yisrael issues, so they have to be from a from company, from a Jewish company, so it shouldn't be included in this Issa de Rabbanan of Gvinas Akam. But anyway, so part of this process.
So this year, polio became.
Yeah, so. So I, you have to figure out how exactly they worked it out. I think it could be that there's
something polio string cheese now became kosher.
Yes, I think, again, I'm not certain. I think that it may belong to a Jew. It may be made in such a way that it belongs to a Jew, that gets around the low plug, so to speak, of Gvinas Akam. I'm not sure about that. But this was a big machlokes in the days of the Rishonim. The war Rishonim who ate Gvinas Akam because they were of the opinion that the concerns don't apply. From my understanding, and again, I don't know enough about it, my understanding is that Bizman Azeh, some of the concerns really still do apply, that especially some of the fancier cheeses, they actually still do use animal products. There's only one person around who anyone's interested can ask. So Rabbi Avram Gordimer happens to be the cheese man at the OU. So those who are interested, he sits in the Y-Bis Medish every morning, so next time I'll try to get a chance to ask him. But he is the guy. It was just an article, I think, in Amir Mishpacha, not that long ago, about everything you ever want to know about making cheese. So he's the one who wrote the article. So if you have any questions, bring him. So when I was learning Maseches Avodah Zarah years ago, in the one summer, so I was learning some of these sugyas, and Beinenu, I didn't really understand too much of the Metzias. So I asked one of the Rabbanim in California who was involved in Kashrus, he asked if he has any like videos, any materials to walk me through some of the Metzias before to understand the sugyas. So he said there's a great video about it, really, really simple. It was a kid's video that was made, showing you step by step how to make cheese. He said it's made for kids, but it's really, really good. He said it'll help you in the sugyas. So I was thinking, when's a good time for me to learn, to spend 2 hours on this video? So if it's late in the day on Tisha B'Av, it's not really learning, it's just, not learning anyway, but the kiddush is open, the kids are running around, I want to take a kid, I'm going to watch a video how to make cheese. So 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I popped in the video, and I'm watching how to make cheese on Tisha B'Av. The problem was, it was a kid's, it was a musical, so it was singing and dancing with the farm, the guys,
Now you're still
so
hungry.
Yeah, hungry. It didn't sit right. I'm just supposed to be after.
Got a nod from that music.
Yeah, no. A little Stickelmark's eye at the rabbi sitting and watching Farmer the Bell. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So the Gemara says that there's an Isser being Mechavetz. So they asked Rav Nachman Aguri, what's the Isser? Mechavetz in the back, at the end of the top line. Mechavetz Mishumai Mechaev. Amlu Mishum Mechavetz. It's us Mishum Mechavetz. Not helping us too much. Megabe Mishumai Chaev. The last process, the process of actually making it coagulate, making it literally form together to become the hard cheese that we have. So why is that chayef? Amruhu, not a big surprise, Mishum Megabein. So we need a little bit more work on this. So the Gemara says, Amrulei. So they said to him, Rabbah Kotel Kani Ba'agmahava. So they said something like, your Rebbe sounds like he used to, like chop wood or something. Sounds like he didn't teach anything. He said, I say it's also because of this, and he said, it's also because of that. Well, it doesn't help me. So, also Shah ben Midrash. So we came to the Yisr in the Beis Medrash. So the Ma'aseh, the Amoraim told him, Amulei, Cholev Chayim Mishum Mefarek. The Yisr of milking an animal is part of the Malacha of Mefarek. Now, that sounds like it's self-explanatory, except I think there were about six sheetahs in Rishonim, because Mefarek is not an Amalacha. Mefarek is a tolda of something. So either it's a tolda of dosh, of threshing, or a tolda of geizes, it's a shearing, it's a tolda of a boirer, according to some Rishonim, it's a tolda of a machek, smoothing, a lot of different possibilities. A tolda of kaitzer, one sheet in Rishonim, but lemais it's also. Whatever it is, you tell them that it's also. But mechabetz chay b'shem borer. Mechabetz, that we can understand, because that really is borer. You're putting something in to actually separate the different components of the milk out. But here's the part that we want, Megabin Chayav Mishum Bein. A person who does Megabin, a person who makes the cheese proper, so he's going to be Chayav because of Bona. So now the Gemara does use that word Chayav. Chayav, we always know, is the code phrase, of course, for an Issa D'Araisa. So the Gemara is telling us that it's not only bona, but it's mamash bona d'araisa, the making of cheese. So the question is, how do we understand that? How does that fit into our understanding of bona as it relates to binyan b'kelim, binyan b'karka, etc.? So the Ritva, in the 16th of the Mamre Kamos, the Ritva, going back to the Gemara that we spoke about earlier in the week, about the person who puts together the different parts of the shovel. So the Gemara said the Yechai Mishum Bayne. So we had other Rishonim had a lot of trouble with this Gemara. Some Rishonim said this Gemara Shalak Halacha. And some Rishonim said the Gemara never really meant Chayav. A lot of different approaches to this Sugya, because there's a problem, because it's Ein Binyan B'Kelim. So the Ritva goes along the lines of the Ramban and the Ran that we spoke about earlier in the week. So Hayman the Oil Shufsa B'Kofina Chayav Mishum Bayne. Rabbi Mechai Mishum Bayne. One can ask a question. There's no bone of b'kelim. Can there mean a prekshen in the beitza? So v'yesh b'farshim. There are those who say t'chiyam mean an binyan astir b'kelim. When do we say there's no bone in size b'kelim? Hani mil b'klishin esparik. That's a kli that was made up of different parts. You go menorah shel chulius. That's like a Lego. You have a Lego menorah made up of a lot of different parts. So that's not really bona. Like Basila permitted you to put together the different pieces of a candelabra on Yomtif, because the pieces are really there already. You just kind of connecting the dots. But the mamish make a kli from scratch. That's for sure considered to be bona. This is again based on the Rabban. That's not called binyan bikelim. Shereino kli. It's not yet a kli. Ela oisikli. That's called the making of a kli. And again, that was the chazanisha's chumra about the opening of the cans, and that was the chazanisha's chumra about the electricity. All based on this ritva, which is really based on the Ramban. But now the Ritva bridges the sugyas for us. Uvazen nichale. It's based on what I just told you. Now it makes sense. Hadi amin liyav preka matzniya. The megabin chay mishum bayne. The Gemara said that making cheese is chay mishum bayne. Vim ein binyan bekelim. If there's no binyan bekelim at all, heich evsheshesh binyan beoichlin. How can there be bayne and ochlin? Madach, you're telling me that bone is only by a building, by a structure, by something connected to the ground. So therefore, there's no bone on kelim. So there's bone on making cheese. How could cheese be more chomer than kelim? Ella, the answer is she'osa dov mitchilasai chay mishum shirosekli. Ella, the answer is the person who makes something from scratch, who a bona, that is called bona. So I'm making the cheese. I'm taking all the pieces of the cheese. I got occurs. I'm throwing something in, and I'm throwing the rennet and the enzymes in, and now it's forming together a whole structure. It used to be a lot of little pieces of curds, and now all of a sudden, after a little while, I got myself a big piece of cheddar cheese. I mean, it takes a few months for that to happen, but I'm saying it starts to clump together and join together. So that's considered to be an iser of bonet. Even though the truth is that it doesn't become a solid piece of cheese until a little bit later on, but it starts when we went to that cheese making place. So we got to make our own cheese, with milk, throw in our own vinegar, whatever it was. We did the three different stages, but we didn't do the cholif part. That they milked for us, but we did the mechavetz part, and then we did the megabin part, and you stick it in the fridge and wait a little while, and it starts to clump together. It's a softer kind of a cheese, but you see the clumps, you begin to see the process of bona. I remember I was very excited about eating the cheese, because it was goat to cheese, and I've tried a little bit to wash my cholesterol, but I've told that goat milk is significantly lower in cholesterol than the cow's milk. Is that true? I don't know. That's what they told me. So I was very excited about that. Although somehow, after I had finished eating, more than I probably should have had, so I heard somebody say that even though this was a goat farm, apparently the goats hadn't produced as much milk the last day or so, and they had run a little bit short. They knew that 100 Americans were coming, so they ran down to the McCulloch and bought a couple of little bottles of cow's milk. So that was a little bit of a mechatos in that one, but guess it cost me my ice cream later in the day. I had to curtail. So we have a makor in the Gemara for the idea of bona by, not just by kelim, but bona by foods as well. It's this issue of bona by foods that brings Tosfos to ask a question, almost from left field, to come with a very, very strange conclusion. Tosfos in the 17th of the Maamar Kamos is talking about when the Gemara mentions about the issue of Megabein, of building through making cheese. So the Gemara calls that a deraisa. There's no question. It says chayim mishu magabe. However you explain it, there is some kind of a deraisa involved. So it comes to us and says, umiyotem alari, came into mutta lagabe biyantif minatora. Says to us, what about on yantif? Would it be permissible to make cheese on yantif? So Tos says, why not? Two words, oichal nefesh. What could possibly be wrong with making cheese on yantif minatora? So afilu be'efshar, even though you could have done it from before yantif, afilu ye mutter midirabanan, elabid lo efshar, says Tosfos, I admit to you that maybe midirabanan will be a problem, because we have a general rule that malachas that could have been done from beforehand, especially if they could have been done, and it would have been even better. If you make cheese, yantif won't, it's not going to taste as good. If you make it a week before, it'll taste even better. So Tosfos says, quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, that those things that could have been done even better from before yantif, have to be done from before yantif. Like the postman said, like making jello. You take jello. It's also a shallow bona, maybe. Shallow leash, other things. So the postman say you really shouldn't be making jello on yantif, because jello, when you make it early, it's not better. You make it the day before, you stick it in the fridge, it tastes better than if you just made it right now. So those kinds of things that could easily be made from before yantif and will be even better from before yantif should not be made on yantif min derabanan. But minatora, you're allowed to make cheese on yantif, Tosfos says. So minatora, you're allowed to make cheese on yantif. Tosfos has a fascinating question. Imk nafal base. So be yantif. If your house fell down on yantif, ye mutlav no so be yantif. Minatora, you can build. You can have. I tell the people not to have your construction guys. Your goyim coming in chol moed. You can do it yourself on yantif. Is that the gomer says? Why not? At least minatora should be mutter. The mitok shehut the binyan letzayrich the megaben. Have mishum. Mishkav gaben have mishum boynek. Yom besamoch. Hutenam mishul ol letzayrich. Ubavach lehei shehei tzayrich hayoyim lecha besayichosh like in a shavish. Shemesh, that says Tosfos that we plug in the rule of mitoch. Mitoch, that I'm allowed to carry food to the sukkah, I'm allowed to push a baby carriage. Mitoch, I'm allowed to light a fire to cook my soup, I'm allowed to light a candle to read by. Mishnayis, Gemara's Maseches Beitza. So Tosfos says, good. Mitoch, that you're allowed to make cheese on yantif, which would have been a deraisa. It's mutter to build your house on yantif also. That's Tosfos kasher. So there's something that strikes us about the kasher, but we can't quite put our fingers on it. But Tosfos has the kasher, mitoch. So, if something struck me about the kasha, wait, what the Torah is going to do for you? Yesh lomar, the asim midrabanan. This is right. Min haTorah, you can put your hard hat on and go build your house in yantif. Min haTorah, it's mutter al tzmitoich. It's conceptually not any different than the person who's carrying, pushing the baby carriage out of the air. It's not conceptually different than the person who's lighting a candle to read from. It's no different from benching lech on yantif night based on mitoch. V'yeshlom adalsa midrabanan, davi uvdik dechol. So it says, tells us, to say it's mutar lechatchila can't be, because there's a Mishnah in Beitz that says you can't build on Yom Tov. So Taisa says, at worst it is as the Rabbanon, because it just looks very weak day. It says we have precedent for prohibiting certain kinds of real food, malachas, because they just give off too much of a weekday appearance, certain acts of grinding, you can't grind your grain into flour on Yom Tov, you can't sift flour on Yom Tov, certain things you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, because they're very, very weak, they're kinds of activities, even though they are technically food, those are Yisurim and the Rabbanon. So, Tosa, quite a chiddush here.
But if you go to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah asks us things on Chol HaMoed, and this is on Yom Tov itself, so why would even those items that the Mishnah asks on
Yeah, Tosa knows that, Rasa. Tosa's not. But Tosa's saying we're talking about the Rabbanon.
Accepting Tosa's approach, you know, how does he, you know, looking at the question, you know, correctly, how does he look at it in the same context?
Well, Tosus is asking, is presenting the question by saying that I know it's also says Tosus. The Mishnah says he can't build your house in Yom Tov. Everyone knows that. But Tosus is conceptualizing, well, why not? What happened to Mitoch? So Tosus says, nothing happened to Mitoch. It is what the Mitoch, because of Mitoch. It happens to be technically also, but there are abundant for like a half dozen other examples. But Minat Torah, it follows the regular rules of Mitoch. It should be totally mutter. That's what Tosus says.
So all the other surim in the Mishnah would also be
I don't know. I mean, again, it's a Mishnah tucked away in Beitz that talks about if you have to break down things in your house, you're not allowed to just start chopping apart, you know, knocking down your house in Yom Tov. But Minat Torah, it also says that it's mutter. So there's something, obviously, that sounds a little bit difficult to us. This idea of applying mitoch sounds a little bit strange. You know, we usually think of mitoch as, well, in the melachas of carrying, in the melachas of lighting fires, those are the two places primarily where mitoch apply. And Tosus begins to apply it outside of those melachas. And Tosus concludes that tach is mutar min haTorah, at least based on mitoch. So we have a little bit of work to do with this Tosus to understand. Does everybody agree to this Tosus? Are there certain limitations in this application of mitoch? So there happens to be a machlekes Rishonim. Is mitoch only found by the melachas that are mentioned in Chazal? Or is mitoch something that really permeates all of Yom Tov? So the Rambam, in the beginning of Chaz Yom Tov, only quotes mitoch in two places. The Rambam describes mitoch vis-a-vis havara, about lighting candles, lighting fires, and vis-a-vis hotzah, about carrying. Those are the two official places. Other malachas, the Rambam seems to say, mitoch doesn't apply altogether. Toz is entitled to disagree with the Rambam, but we would just know that according to the Rambam, this question wouldn't even get off the ground, wouldn't even be bothered with this question. But even a niach like tells us that mitoch does make sense by bonav, magabin, do we still really understand this Tosus? Tosus is presenting that, well, since once in a yovel it's mutter to do bona on Yom Tov, namely to make your cheese in Minat Torah, so hu adinami, all other bonas are mutter. Is that the exact same as mitoch of chutzah? Is that the same as the other mitoch that we find in the other malachas? So we have to work with this Tosus a little bit. Hopefully, next week, we'll just try to put the final touches on the sugya, and then after Mitzvah, we'll move on.